Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam from the fourth canto, chapter 3, entitled Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati. Text 17.
Vijata puvita vapurvaya kulai. Satam gunai sadbira satam etare. Smito hatayam britamana dudrisa. Stabda na pasyanti dama buyasam. Vidya.
Education.
Education.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Austerity.
Austerity.
Vita.
Vita.
Wealth.
Vapu,
beauty of body, etc.
Vaya,
youth.
Kulai,
with heritage.
Satam,
of the pious.
Gunai,
by such qualities.
Sadbi,
six.
Asatamastarai,
so it's ittara. Asatma
ittarai.
Having the opposite result
to those who are not great souls.
Smrito,
good sense.
Hatayam,
being lost.
Brittamana dudrisa,
blind due to pride.
Stabdaha,
being proud.
Not.
Pasyanti,
see.
He,
for.
Dhamma,
the glories.
Vyasam,
of the great souls.
Translation.
Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personality. Purport. It may be argued that since Daksha was very learned and austere and had descended from a very exalted heritage, how could he be unnecessarily angry towards another? The answer is that when the qualities of good education, good parentage, beauty, and sufficient wealth are misplaced in a person who is puffed up by all these possessions, they produce a very bad result. Milk is very nice food, but when milk is touched by an envious serpent, it becomes poisonous. Similarly, material assets such as education, wealth, beauty, and good parentage are undoubtedly nice, but when they decorate persons of a malicious nature, then they act adversely. Another example given by Chanakya Pandit is that a serpent that has a jewel on its head is still fearful because it is a serpent. A serpent by nature is envious of other living entities, even though they be faultless. When a serpent bites another creature, it's not necessarily because the other creature is at fault. It is the habit of the serpent to bite innocent creatures. Similarly, although Daksha was qualified by many material assets, because he was proud by his possession and because he was envious, all those qualities were polluted. It is sometimes therefore detrimental for a person advancing in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness to possess such material assets. Kunti Devi, while offering prayers to Krishna, addressed him as a Kinchana Gochara, one who is easily approached by those who are bereft of material acquisitions. Material exhaustion is an advantage for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Although if one is conscious of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can utilize one's material assets, such as great learning and beauty and exalted ancestry, for the service of the Lord, then such assets become glorious. In other words, unless one is Krishna conscious, all his material possessions are zero. But when this zero is by the side of the Supreme One, it at once increases in value to 10. Unless situated by the side of the Supreme One, zero is always zero. One may add 100 zeros, but the value will still remain zero. Unless Once material assets are used in Krishna consciousness, they may play havoc and degrade the possessor. This is the day and age that everyone is overeducated and has some nonsense degree that is not going to bring much benefit at all in one's life. In fact, it's going to take us away from Krishna. We become proud. We think, oh, I have, you know, at least a master's. So, I am a master. After I have a master's. Master. Or what to speak, PhD. Scarred for life. PhD means permanently damaged, actually. Even a psychologist can't, even therapy can't fix it. It's like that deep. One can no longer put his faith in anything. One has to then, as an academic reflex, systematically cut everything to pieces and question why. Critical thinking, thoroughly critical. So what's the benefit of that if you try to develop faith? Faith in Krishna, faith in the pure devotees and the acharyas. Mind you, we're not talking about blind faith. We're not talking that there is no logic, no argument, and so on. But at one point it has to stop. At one point, it's not by intellect that we will determine whether Krishna consciousness is true or not. It's not like that. You can dice and slice, philosophize, analyze, and try to figure out the whole package of arguments that support Krishna consciousness. Very well. And then one comes to the stage where we say, and now, try the experiment. Just try it and see what it does for you. Because ultimately, Pantastakirti Satavat Sarasam Prakamyo Vayuratapi Mahasura Munipun Gavana Supyastinya Vapatitintya Vitintya Tantve Kulinaman Purusha Tanahundaya. Ultimately, we cannot attain Krishna by the intellect. It's not possible. Krishna is attained through mercy, when Krishna is pleased. Yes, certainly, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna gives us intelligence by which we can come to Him. Certainly, intelligence is a factor. Ahamsa Vishyapavaro Mata Sarvam Pavaitate Ita Iti Bata Vajantimam Buddha Bhava Samam Vita. One who is intelligent, Buddha, Bhava Samam Vita, he worships me with love. He understands I'm the source of everything. It's material, everything spiritual, and he worships me with love. So, such worship with love cannot be attained just by theoretical intelligence. It means applied intelligence. It means that we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are Krishna and each of us, that we are the eternal servants. And therefore, as eternal servants, that our natural position is in service. Our only happiness is attained in service and not in any other endeavor. As soon as we try to be the master, we're in an artificial position. And we can we have to pretend. See, as soon as we are in the position of a master, we have to pretend. We have to start hiding our defects because we are not very good masters. Many, many times we fail. We did miserably, and then you have to have a profile. So you have to somehow or other hide all the faults. So better take a humble position, and better say I have no qualifications at all. Then if something works, then it's an asset. Right? Whereas when you are a master, and you know it has to work every time. Otherwise, what kind of master are you? So in this way, we can see servant is the same position. Then anything that goes right is only credit. Only to our credit. There are no expectations. But this is so difficult because we start on the wrong footing. We don't start. If we would only start properly, if from the early stage of life we would start in a completely proper environment, we would be strong, but we don't. We don't. And then we pick up bad habits, even before we are adults already. And then by the time we're grown up, we're basically totally fixed in all kinds of nonsense, to use that word again. Prabhupada liked the words nonsense rascal. Sort of like, in India this is a big thing if you say to someone, nonsense rascal. I saw that a certain senior devotee called the bank manager nonsense rascal, and we had to change bank. That was it. And, it couldn't be fixed. I mean, I tried, but I could see better change bank now. What to do? So it's a big thing, nonsense rascal in India. But this is also, it sums it up. It really sums it up. Rascal, inclined towards all kinds of activities that are not beneficial. Inclined. So many. Inclined towards activities that will bring suffering upon ourselves and others. What to do? Some demon is sabotaging. And then, of course, it makes no sense. It is nonsense. To be inclined towards activities that are destructive, that cause suffering to ourselves and others, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, nonsense rascal. That inclination, it doesn't make sense. So yeah, if one comes to the point where one can actually admit it, that I am a nonsense rascal, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of humility. The question is asked 1,000 times, how to become humble? And today, I answer it in a way I've never answered it before, but today I say, admit to yourself that you are a nonsense rascal. Then it's possible. To understand, yes, I have all these foolish attachments, somehow or other. Foolish attachments I developed that have no benefit whatsoever. And that's the situation. Addicted to many things, many simple activities. Life after life. That's the point. So it's not necessary to do anything in this life to develop the addiction. It's already there. The children are not as innocent as they look. Yeah. Neither are we, for that matter. So Srila Prabhupada understood this, and in one sense he was not shy to point it out, by saying things like nonsense rascal. He was not shy to sort of point out the defects, and yet he was not rejecting anyone. Rather, he was welcoming everyone. And that is Lord Chaitanya's movement. On the one hand, everyone is welcome. But, you know, here we go. We're looking at qualities like, you know, lust. So, are we afflicted by lust? Well, sometimes. Are we afflicted by anger? Well, sometimes. Everyone gets angry sometimes. Look, greed. A little bit. Not so much. Mada. Are we
Are we affected by madness?
Nah. Who would call himself mad?
It's not so easy to call yourself mad, right? You can say it, but seriously? I mean, do you really think you're crazy? No, generally speaking, we think that we've got it figured out and that other people somehow or other don't get it. Most of the time, that's what we think. They don't get it. I am misunderstood. I mean, they don't understand. They don't understand. And I'm trying to explain it to them, and they just don't get it. You know, are we mad? Could be, you know. A madman thinks he knows. He's got the answers. It's true. I have met quite a few madmen. And they all think they know. They all think they've figured it out. But the truth is, they haven't figured it out at all. Moha, illusion. In illusion. So are we in an illusion? Is it that maybe we don't know? Is it possibly that we haven't got it all figured out? Illusion. Okay, maybe. Matsari, are you envious? Oof, that hurts. That's mean, right? You know, to think of yourself as envious is lust, okay, a little lust, what can you do? Everybody's got it. But to say, to admit, I'm envious. Outright. I can't stand it when people do better than I do. I hate it. I can't tolerate such people. Somehow or other, I have to minimize them. Somehow or other, I have to sort of poke holes in their glory. Are we envious? It's hard to admit. See, so these six enemies that are listed: karma, cruel, lower, mana, moha, matsarya. These six enemies are attacking all living beings that are conditioned. So, are we not conditioned? And if we're not conditioned, then are we crying tears in ecstasy upon seeing Krishna? And if not, then are we conditioned after all? And if you're conditioned after all, do we have all the six, or maybe only one or two of these qualities? So, we can see that we are in denial. We are in denial. We're not ready to fully accept the extent of the material contamination due to pride. Pride places us in a position of denial, a position where we are not ready to admit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes this song, Ami Punya Lesha. I am devoid of any pious activity. I am so sinful. And he just goes on a whole list of that kind. But he went through this exercise, of sort of coming to terms with his own fallen position. He didn't just say, I am so fallen. He sort of thoroughly embraced it. I am fallen in so many ways because. So, is this necessary? Well, it is necessary to dismantle our pride. Otherwise, you know, you go from a master degree to spiritual master. Still master. Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. So one has to be really careful to be servant. And I have one disciple who always signs the letter with your mercy case. Always writing your, instead of your servant, writing your mercy case. It's nice, kind of
I appreciate it. It's consistent now over so many years, right? For so many years, I always get your mercy case. It's not to solve it. Not bad to think like that. I'm a mercy case. Not once a year on the Vyasa Puja, you know, Guru Maharaj, with tears. I am made of your mercy alone. And everyone else says, wow, that was such an amazing offering. It was, actually. It was one of the best of the day, for sure. Yes.
So, yeah.
So whatever reminds us of our humble position is an asset. Is an asset. To bow down to Vaishnavas is an asset. When we are seeing ourselves as fallen, then we feel a need for shelter. As soon as we think, well, you know, I've been around, for a long time, then the difficulty begins. Because somebody who's been around for a long time, it's more difficult to tell them anything. We immediately start to derive status from our position. So all these things we are facing, everyone is facing them. Because we are inherently weak. That's the birth in the age of Kali. Everyone is weak. So weakness means prone to all these defects. And that will remain. It's just we deal with them by chanting, by taking shelter. We deal with them by Vaishnava etiquette. We deal with them by beating our mind. Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, beat the mind with, I think, a stick in the morning and a shoe in the evening, or the other way around. I can't remember when to use the shoe. But whatever it is, doesn't matter so much. Can interchange, I guess. But beat the mind. Beat the mind. That was his advice. So that's a very... And we can understand that he didn't just say that, he did that. He did that. That's the point. It's like it's all part of the package. So the package of Krishna consciousness is not about somehow or other reading the books and understanding and getting some glorious insights, you know, and I have now thoroughly understood Prabhupada's books in a way that... like, they are rarely understood. With a light in the eyes. No, it is rather, we have to again and again reform ourselves. And still, that is not the main thing. That is only the catalyst. That conscious endeavor is only the catalyst. It is only the factor that supports the real purification that comes from devotional service. Because ultimately, mercy is more important than our endeavor. It's obvious. The child is trying to do something, and that is good. But when an adult interferes, that's obviously more powerful. Obviously more powerful than the child trying to do it all alone. Of course, it's nice when the child can do it themselves, but sometimes, you know, some difficult things, you need a little help from someone who knows more, an adult. Yeah? If it gets really difficult, then you go to an adult. It's, of course, annoying sometimes, but still, we need some help. So in spiritual life also, we need help at any time. We should never think that now I've come to the point that I don't really need the help of my spiritual master anymore. He helped me a lot. No, he helped me a lot, but now I am sort of a teacher myself. So now I don't need anyone. No, one always needs the mercy of the spiritual master.
all the time, always. And one always needs to have this attitude. Yesterday, we're talking a little bit about spiritual master, how to be always at the feet of the spiritual master, to turn to the spiritual master, to sort of always be open to the spiritual master, to consult the spiritual master, to open up, to share our life with the spiritual master, to ask for direction, to not just think, well, I know. I don't need any help. I know what I'm doing. It's all pretty clear now, you know. Okay, in the beginning I needed to figure it out a little bit, but now I know the process, I know how it works. I'm doing it. So I don't need any help.
No.
So Daksha had become very proud in this way by his qualification. And as a result, he could not see that Lord Shiva was far greater than him. And he was therefore thinking, yeah, Shiva is an important personality in the universe, and so am I. Yeah. I'm also one of the mental sons of Brahma. So, you know, and in that sense, he's not senior to me at all. Right? We are, you know, both, we're equals. I'm equal to him. And I'm his superior in a way, in the sense that he's becoming my son-in-law. So he should offer respects to me. I'm not going to offer respects to him. As to my son-in-law, no way. Yeah. But he was getting too much absorbed in externals and not seeing that Lord Shiva was a superior personality, a greater personality. And so he committed offenses. And if there's anything that can hold us back in spiritual progress, then it's offenses that are committed. When we are committing offenses of offending the Vaishnavas, then the chanting of the holy name doesn't work, because Krishna will withdraw from the name. And all that remains is the external shell. And we chant and we chant, and we don't get the benefit. Go slow. So this is to be remembered, that somehow or other, we cannot be respectful. So if you try the first offense against the holy name, not to blaspheme the devotees, how are we going to do it? By biting our tongue.
When I'm not chanting, I'm eating, I'm always biting my tongue. Okay, I will not say anything bad.
How long can you do it? That's maybe not a good option.
So, alright, so besides chanting and taking prasadam,
I have to talk, right, to someone. And then someone says, you know, that's so and so. No, really, yes, no. Oh, they are doing these and these things. No, yes. Oh, well, outrageous. No, how dare they? I mean, can they do it? And before we know it, you know, we found a way into criticism. Now, there may be some genuine fault. What if someone is caught stealing, red-handed, and you talk about it? Say, well, that person is not honest because they're a thief. How do you know? You're blaspheming. No, I'm not blaspheming. Because this person has been caught red-handed. Well, that may be true, but you're just labeled the person a thief forever. Right? Says he's a thief. And the proof is there, he's caught red-handed. Okay, maybe he was a thief. Maybe he has a weakness in that field. But maybe it can be corrected. Maybe one day. We see that great Valmiki became a great devotee. Right? He was a chore. In India, chore is one of the worst things you can do. And so he was a children, but he became a great exalted sage.
So this process can change anyone. So we are ready to engage everyone. But it doesn't mean that we make the chore in charge of the money.
Okay, I've changed my life now. I'm no longer a thief. Okay, you can become the treasurer. Not exactly like that. We may give a service a little bit away from valuables. You know. We may not even allow someone to move in the temple initially. Say first, you know, you serve from outside for a while. If there is such a handicap, these things are handicaps. But still, everyone has a chance.
In this way, we have to be a very friendly movement, a very accommodating movement, ready to give everyone a chance, ready to not find fault with others. So not finding fault with others is hard. It's very hard. And once we found one fault, you know, you catch someone lying. He's a liar. You know what I mean? Shame, this person is to be rejected. Well, you know, have you never lied?
Never ever?
No, that's a lie.
So yeah, even if you catch someone lying, doesn't mean that, okay, means the person has some weakness. But it doesn't mean this person is a write-off. I don't want to deal with such people. Well, then you can't deal with yourself either. Sorry. Yeah. What are you going to do now? So we're all fallen. We're all here as just by the mercy of great devotees and the mercy of English. And that's it.
Okay, I will end. Any questions, any comments? Yes. Start again because I missed the beginning.
I do not leave among many devotees everything I do
No, it actually applies to everyone. In the there's the verse Trinadapi Sumichena, Tarapi Sahisina, Amana Dena, Kirtani, Sadhari, which is one of the eight verses spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says one should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. And it says one should be ready to offer respects to all others. It doesn't say to all other devotees, it's to all others. And to sort of accept people with their faults, but not naive. Right? Not like, oh, I'm accepting everyone. Right? And you've just accepted like, you know, a serial killer. Come in my arms. You know? No, that's not a good idea. So we accept everyone to get the mercy of the Lord. Even a killer can get the mercy of the Lord, but it's better if there is something between him and us. So prasadam he can get, but better some bars, because, you know, it's too dangerous. Like this, not naive, but respectful to all, and that means that we see that everyone has a chance to come up. And it's not, okay, I give you one chance. I'll give you two chances. I'll give you three chances. And after that, you can go to hell. I've given you a fair chance. You know, and you blew it. Down you go. One chance.
two chains, three chains, and you go down, down, you go to hell.
No, not like that. No. In the end, we understand that basically we accept that everyone is a devotee. Some people know and others don't. That's all. So it's a matter of time. Thank you. Yes.
What is the highest thing that we can do to attract Radharani's mercy?
By serving Lord Nityananda. I mean, Radharani is so exalted and so pure. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that those who are liberated and in Madhurya Ras, they can go to Srimati Radharani. Everybody else? Nityananda.
So you see these two windows, these two ticket windows for mercy, right? You go to the mercy office and see Radharani's office, and you go in there and it says, liberated, liberate devotees in Madhurya Ras only.
Everybody else, go to the other window. There's a long line, very few. See, naturally, because there's few in front of that window, sometimes people want to go, oh, let's go to Radharani. But now, in the line, each and other. Hey, mate, over here.
If you can avoid such a service, it's a good idea.
I mean, you know, generally we don't avoid service, but that one, where you have to find fault in other devotees as a service, well, that service is not very helpful at all. Many with big designations, stars and stripes in the management, including myself, I've had lots of stars and stripes over the years, I was getting too casual in finding faults in people. So it's very tricky if you have to do this as a service. So if you do it as a service, remember you're dealing with Vaishnavas and do it in a loving way, as a parent, respectful way. Do not impose upon them. Understand one thing, what Chanakya Pandit says, which is very good. He says, you cannot correct anyone unless you are in a senior position to that person. And even when you are in a senior position to that person, you cannot correct them unless you have a heartfelt friendship with them. And if you are not that person, then you don't correct that person, then you go to someone who has that relationship and say, you know, that these things are going on. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but if you think something should be done about it, then I just wanted you to know. That's all. You know, it's not that we go around like, this, sorry, that's not really Prabhuji, that's not the standard.
That's not the standard.
If we create a song like that all day long, that's offensive.
That's very offensive.
I mean, we just create. We create a movement where nobody wants to be. Not for long. Where everyone wants to be for a short time because they can tell it's fun to tell everyone.
It's offensive. Yeah. You know, your standard behavior is not correct. That's what you always want to tell
them. Get it off your chest. That's great. But you can't live in such a moment for a long time. We need a movement which is based on deep friendship and deep appreciation. We don't need like a boarding school. If we create a movement which is like a boarding school, and everyone is looking at everyone, Prabhuji, are you correctly doing this correctly? That, you know, after some while, I feel cramped, you know, I feel. And in my mind, start to think, I want to break loose, I want to run free, I want to go. We become split personalities in such an environment. We have a facade, and the facade is all external rules, regulations, and standards, and this, that. And behind the closed curtains, the real self comes out. No, we don't want that. We want a very mature movement, a movement with deep, deep friendships amongst the devotees. And then where we help each other, and where we know, today I help you, tomorrow you help me. It's not that somebody necessarily has all the chips. Right? Yeah, it's okay, you know, we have senior devotees, they help, but we are not so senior. There are very, very senior devotees in this movement, but I am not so senior. Somehow or other, you know. We have to think like that. It's a tough position, this correcting of us. I don't like it. Yes.
When you talk about you know, how when we are doing the self-analysis and then we see the anger and greed and we see, yeah, we have a bit of that, but not so much. when we are analyzing, we tend to compare with what's around. And so if everyone is lusty, then I have a little bit lust in that. It's not so much of a problem because it's something everyone has. Mm-hmm. So then it's the same with the anger, it's the same with lust. And because everyone is living quite a madness life, so you don't see yourself a mad person. So, and not being so much aware of the spiritual nature, then we don't really see a problem in ourselves.
Yeah.
How do we...
Yeah, how do we... give up that illusion. Well, I guess the beginning is to first of all, at least think about it, and then allow the option, you know, like leave room for the possibility that actually, I might be conditioned by these things, because these tendencies are attacking every living being in the material world who is conditioned. Only liberated souls are not attacked by these six enemies. And maybe we're not liberated. Are we liberated? Maybe not completely. Or maybe completely not. and then, so, in other words, probably, you know, like it would make sense to say, probably I am affected by these things. Probably I am. And in that case, then we are not so fixed anymore in our own ideas and our own opinions. Okay, I see it in a certain way, but maybe this is not the all in all. Maybe I'm not seeing it completely right. Doesn't mean I see it completely wrong. Obviously, I see something right, but maybe not everything. Then we are more open to become, to learn. So that's what we're speaking about, because we're speaking about Daksha being like very fixed in his identity. So, okay, I took it down. We, us, being fixed in our identities. You know? I am what I am, and I've been around, and I know what I'm doing. Maybe we don't know what we're doing. Do you know what you're doing? Maybe we think we do, but maybe we don't. And that's all we can do about it. And then, by devotional service,
You know, they say, my spiritual master says, he had a teacher who told him one thing, said, everything comes out in the wash. So this process of devotional service, everything comes out in the wash. Don't you worry. It comes out. We are in the wash. Thank you very much. Shubhavati.